Good morning, everyone, and a special welcome to the Hawes. Glad that they're with us. They kept their promise to come back. I said thank you to Tim privately, and I want to say thank you to the family publicly. Please take your Bibles and turn to Hebrews chapter 16. Hebrews chapter 6, and we're going to be reading verses 9 through 12. Hebrews chapter 6 and verses 9 through 12. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 9. But beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you. Yes, things that accompany salvation, though we speak in this manner. For God is not unjust to forget your work and labour of love which you have shown toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Amen.
Now let's give a time to our missionaries from PNG. Tim will be coming to preach on the Word of God. They have been serving the Lord in PNG for a while now. How many years now, brother? Since you... Eight years, yeah. Tim, as well, with the many hats he's wearing there as a missionary in PNG, is the Vice President of Academics. And both of them, Tim and Leandra, are serving the Lord by teaching at the Bible school, Goroka Baptist Bible College. As what we know, they are in a church planting ministry at Kesesaru and have 2,000 kids. And now we're praying that 5,000 kids will be reached through Bible clubs or what we call religious instructions in public schools. Tim will talk more about the ministry, of course. So without further ado, I'd like to give this brother the privilege to speak the Word of God and speak from his heart. God bless you, Brother Tim.
Good morning. It's a great blessing and privilege to be with you this morning. Thank you so much for your faithful prayers and support as a church for the Lord's work there in Papua New Guinea. Thank you for just recently sending Tim and Josh and Jonah over to help there in the work in Papua New Guinea. They were a great blessing and encouragement, and the Lord has used you all at Central Mountains Baptist Church to be a great blessing to ministry there. Thank you to Pastor Billiard and his wife for their faithful prayers and encouragement and emails and notes. We greatly appreciate that. And what I'd like to do is just, do the guys in the back have the video? Okay, why don't we show the video in just a second? We have three areas in ministry, as Pastor Jan mentioned. We have the church plant at Kesesaru. We also have the ministry at Goroka Baptist Bible College. They also have the religious instruction classes there in the public schools. So once again, thank you so much for everything you all have done as a church. Feels like it's hard to believe. I guess it was 7 years ago that we were here when Lydia was born here. So thank you for everything the church did for us at that time, the blessed encouragement you were to us. And the Lord's done a lot in the 8 years we've been in Papua New Guinea now. So one great blessing, we have gotten permanent residency now in Papua New Guinea. So that's a great blessing from the Lord. But One of the great needs we had as we move forward in the ministry there was some people to help and partner in the work, and that's what you all have done as a church. Whether that was with the church building you saw in the video, the church building at Kesesaru, I'm not sure if you could read the subscripts on it because it was cut off there on the bottom, but the church building at Kesesaru, you all were a great blessing and help to get everything packed, all the electrical, all the supplies for the church building, get it in the container and get it shipped over. And of course, as the guys came over, helped to finish the mission house, we were able to move into that. The house we were living in has now become the clinic building, and that is being used as the old clinic has been torn down, and we are getting ready for the clinic, the new clinic to be built. So with that in mind, I want you to turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 6 and verse number 10. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10. Thank you, Pastor Billiard, for reading the scripture this morning. Let me read verse 10, and then I will pray. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10 says, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed towards his name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. Truly done for the work there in Papua New Guinea, for which we're very grateful. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your faithfulness. Lord, thank you for the blessing and honor of being with your people this morning. I pray that you would speak to us anew and afresh from your word. I pray that you would fill me with your Holy Spirit and use me. Grateful for you sending your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, to die on the cross of Calvary, to save us from our sins, Lord, to set us free and enable us to love and serve you with the life that you have given to us. Lord, thank you. I pray that you would be honored and glorified this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So you look with me there at verse 10, it says, "For God is not unrighteous to forget. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love." The first thing I want us to see this morning is to remember. God is righteous to remember. As you serve God, as you minister for the Lord, it might be that you're sharing the gospel with a coworker. It might be that you're sharing the gospel with a small child. It might be that you're teaching a Sunday school class. It might be that you're ministering to a neighbor down the street that needs help. Might be that you're packing a pallet of supplies to send over to Papua New Guinea. Might be that you went to Papua New Guinea to pound some nails. Might be you went to make some cabinets. But whatever your work and labor of love is, whatever you're doing for the Lord, God is not unrighteous to do what? To forget. Those things that you do for God, God will remember. You give your life to serve God, to love him, to honor him, God will remember those things. There might not be much recognition in this life, but there's an eternity with Christ. There's an eternity where we will get the rewards that we have done for him. God is righteous to remember. God remembers those things that you do for him. You know, in the Sermon on the Mount, as the Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 5 through 7, as he preaches the Sermon on the Mount, he goes through different things. He talks about prayers. He talks about fasting. He talks about giving. He talks about those different things. But he also talks about recognition before men. And those and people that do things for the Lord, but they do it for the praise of men, he says that they have their reward. The reward isn't in heaven. The reward is here on earth. But when you serve God for his honor, for his glory, maybe not recognized by men, not seen by others, you have your reward. But your reward isn't here on earth. Your reward is in eternity. Your reward is in heaven. God is righteous to remember those things that you have done for him. Turn with me in the book of Numbers chapter 23 and verse number 19. Numbers chapter 23 and verse 19. Numbers chapter 23 verse 19 says, "God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should not repent. Hath he said it, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken it, and shall he not make it good?" God keeps his word. He keeps his promises. Back again in Hebrews chapter 6, verse number 18, it says that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for a refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. As believers, as Christians, for those of us that have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, God has promised us eternal life. But not only has God promised us eternal life, but he's also promised us eternity with him. He's promised us an eternal reward. Whatever ways you have served the Lord, God will remember those things. You know, for us there in Papua New Guinea, as you all helped to pack the container, get all the supplies sent over for the church building, for the church at Kesasaro, we had started with the church plan up at Jericho. We had started with a Bible study on Saturdays. We had done that for a couple of years, and we were going up to another church plant up the other side of the mountain, up to Lisilo. Then we had a number of women that had gotten saved. We started meeting on Sunday, as some of you might remember from when we were here. Before, we were meeting underneath an avocado tree. Avocado Baptist Church, not really. But we were meeting underneath an avocado tree, and it was great until it was avocado season. The avocados were falling off, so you were preaching and dodging avocados. But the Lord blessed, we were able to build just a little building. We were able to put a blue tarp up, meet under that. Then we were able to build a grass church building, meet under the grass church building. Then we continued to pray for the Lord to provide land. We moved down to Casasaro, down the mountain. Then we needed a church building, and we wanted to build a permanent church building. We didn't want to continue to use a grass building or use something that would be damaged by the environment. There is very harsh. And we wanted to build a steel church building if possible so that it would last. And we also wanted to send the message to the local people that the church building was something that was there to stay. It wasn't that it was just going to be there a few years and it would be destroyed, but it was a permanent church building that if they trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and they got saved, they could raise their children to love and serve the Lord. It would also be a church for their children and their children's children. And so we prayed about that. But right about that time, something tragic happened around the world. There was coronavirus. And every hope to get supplies or to get a building, it seemed every door was no. It seemed everything had shut down. But God in His providence and through His goodness used you all as a church during that time. Marvelously, during the time of COVID, all the materials were gotten together and shipped over to Papua New Guinea. And in God's miraculous timing as well, the country in Papua New Guinea, because it was shut down, we weren't allowed to have classes at the Bible college, and I was not allowed to do the religious instruction classes, but we were able to work full-time on building the church building. And only the Lord could do that. It was God's perfect timing, but the Lord used you all as a church to be able to see that happen, to see that possible, and to see the building sent over and built there in Papua New Guinea. You know, as you look there in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10, it says, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love." And it might seem like to you, it might seem like a small thing or insignificant thing to ship the church building over to get all the supplies packed in the container. But if we're building over there and we're starting to put together the building and we don't have our bolts to bolt the steel together, that becomes a very, very important something. I remember talking to a gentleman once back home that I needed some bolts for a project. And he's like, no. He said, it's impossible. He said, you've got to be able to have bolts in Papua New Guinea. He said, you've got to be able to get them easily at a hardware store. And I had the conversation with him. 2 years later, he sent some bolts. Great. But guess how late they were? 2 years. And it was such a blessing. Everything we needed for the church building, everything was there. We weren't missing anything. And the project was able to be complete it for the Lord's honor and for His glory. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love." Not only your work, but it says a labor of love. A labor of love, a work done out of compassion, a work done out of sorrow, a work done out of your heart and your love for the Lord. And that's what we sensed as we serve the Lord in Papua New Guinea from Central Mountains here. We've sensed your love for the Lord, your love for Him, the things that you have done, the support that you have shown, the finances that you have sent. We've sensed that love that you have for God out of a heart and out of a compassion for the people there in Papua New Guinea. I remember, well, actually, the men that were there, you remember Papa Seiko. He was the village leader that first had opened the door for us to be able to meet there in Jericho. When we had started the church, he said, you're not allowed to have a Bible study. And he said, you're not allowed to meet on Sundays. But slowly, as the medicine had gone in, he said, all right, he said, you're allowed to have a Bible study. But he said, you're not allowed to start a church. You're not allowed to meet on Sundays. Well, you can see how that worked out. But the Lord slowly changed his heart. And faithful in church, very, very faithful, but still not saved. Still hadn't trusted Christ as a Savior. His wife was one of the first people that got baptized. One of three women that was the first ones to get saved, baptized. His wife, very faithful to the Lord, serving God, loving God in the church, but Seiko still wasn't saved. And when you talk to him, and I sit down and counsel him, he'd say, no, he said, I had someone years and years ago. He said, I prayed a prayer. He said, I've been very religious. He said, I've been part of different churches along the way. And he said, yes, I'm saved. Yes, I'm a Christian. But he was trusting his own good works. He wasn't trusting Lord Jesus Christ as a Savior. He was trusting his good works. And we continue to witness him, continue to counsel him. I don't remember exactly. I'd say it was over a year ago, maybe a year and a half ago. He said to me, Tim, he said, I'm getting really close to making a decision for the Lord. And he didn't use the words per se, getting saved, but he said a decision for the Lord. And I knew for the first time he recognized he wasn't saved. He realized his need for the Lord. And book of Ephesians says, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. For once the light came on in Seiko's heart that it wasn't his good works, it wasn't the things that he had done. Yes, maybe he opened his area up in his village for the church to come in. Yes, through him we were maybe able to get the land. Yes, through him many things are happened, but it wasn't through his good works. And when we came back, after the short time we were in the States, Seiko had requested that I come visit him. So myself, the local president of the Bible school, Pastor Jack Gundu, the two of us went up there together. He's our local pastor there. He's helping us also with the church at Case of Sorrow. We went up, counseled with him through the scripture. And Seiko, for the first time, he said, yes. He said, I'm ready to trust Christ as my Savior. He said, I'm ready to say sorry for my sins and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to be my Savior. And at that time, Seiko trusted Christ as his Savior. And what a day of rejoicing. Only the Lord knows his heart. There's many, many difficulties he works through in his own life. His own trust in his own righteousness, the sorcery, the witchcraft, living in fear of the spirits. But there is someone whose life is changed for eternity. Changed by the power of the gospel. And because of your work and labor of love that you've shown as a church, there's fruit in eternity. Fruit for the Lord's honor and for his glory. So we see first that God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. God remembers whatever things you've done for him. Maybe serving at Awana. Maybe inviting someone to church. Maybe going on visitation. I remember when I was here 7 years ago, I greatly appreciated going door knocking with Pastor Rebillier. That was a great blessing and encouragement. But sometimes you might not see a lot of fruit in what you're doing, but the Lord remembers your work and labor of love that you do. Look at the second thing with me in verse number 10. Says, which you have showed towards his name. Those things that you have done out of love for God's name. We serve God for his namesake. The second thing I want us to see this morning is we serve God for his namesake. We're serving God for his honor and for his glory. It's not about us. It's not about what we're doing, but for the honor and glory of his name. That all the earth might know that there is a God in heaven. That all the earth might know, come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Turn with me to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. And verse number 7. The Lord Jesus Christ says, speaking to his disciples, speaking about serving him, speaking about honoring him, speaking about loving him. It says, but which of you having a servant plowing or feeding cattle will say unto him by and by when he has come from the field, go and sit down to meat. Will he not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself, and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterwards thou shalt eat and drink. Verse 9, does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I say not. So likewise, when ye shall have done all these things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. As we serve God for his namesake, as Christians, as believers, it is our duty. You know, there's a lot of Christians around the world today, but there's not a lot of Christians that are serving God. Sometimes we forget how much that God has done for us. God has sent his son. He gave his very life on the cross of Calvary, that we could know him, that we could have eternity with him. Whatever we do in Papua New Guinea, whatever you do here at Central Mountains, whatever way you're serving God, the end of the day, we're still unworthy servants. We've only done our duty. Why have we only done our duty? Because God has given the ultimate sacrifice. He's given his very life for us. We can never do too much for God. We can never do more for God than what he has done for us. He's given his life for us. Look back again at Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse number 1, it says, the writer of Hebrews says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, laying aside again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God, of the doctrine of baptism, of laying on of hands, and of the resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. He's gone through, he's talking about some of the elementary things of the Christian life. Just as I mentioned about Seiko, we're saved by grace through faith. It's not of ourselves. There's a doctrine after we get saved, after we trust Christ as our Savior, we need to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. But those are all foundational things. They're elementary things to the Christian life. They're the foundation. But after that, after we move on, then we begin to serve God. We begin to do those things that God has given us to do. God gives to each and every Christian a gift to serve him with. The gifts are different. They're not the same. God gives to each and every one of us. Whatever God has given to us, whatever God has given to you, we need to be faithful in using that to serve God. To some, God has given the ministry of prayer. You may be a great prayer warrior for the Lord's work, praying for the Lord's ministry here, praying for the Lord's ministry around the world. I remember there's many, many stories in Papua New Guinea, many different things that have happened, many things that could have been a tragic accident, but through the mercy of God and the prayers of God's people, we have seen incredible deliverances. I believe I shared last time I was here, I can't remember if I shared it or not, but I remember one time we were driving in the Land Cruiser down to Leh, and as we go down the mountains, there's many mountains, roads, many sharp corners. We were going down the Highlands Highway. There's only one highway from Goroka down to Leh, and as we were driving down, I was driving the Land Cruiser, and I went to downshift from third to second to slow down to save the brakes. As I did, I shifted, pushed the clutch in, went into neutral, went into second gear, but this particular vehicle, very hard to shift. Sometimes you had to double clutch and stuff, and I went to double clutch. I couldn't get it into gear. Then I hit the brakes, and I had no brakes, and very bad situation. Had another fellow with me, and about that point, your mind starts racing. Do I put it into the cement barret, to the cement ditch, or am I going to be able to make the next corner? And we made the next corner. All four tires were squealing as I went around the next corner, but I knew that corner after that, I wasn't going to make it. And the fellow sitting next to me, he said to me something very profound. He said, use emergency brake, which is a very good idea, except Leandra had been reminding me for probably about 6 months to fix it, which I had failed to do because I was busy with other things. But due to God's mercy and grace, I pulled the emergency brake as hard as I could. Had it worked for 6 months, but it worked just enough to slow it down and to get it back in gear, and I made the next corner. But you talk about the prayers of who? God's people. You know, we don't know who was praying that day, but we certainly know prayers were being heard and prayers were being answered. The Lord certainly protected us that day. As you look back in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10, first thing we saw, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. The second thing, which you have shown towards his name. Whatever we do for God is for his honor and for his glory, for the name of the Lord. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 10 says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and are safe. We trust in the name of the Lord. Isaiah chapter 46 and verse number 10. Isaiah chapter 46 and verse number 10. The Lord says, declaring the end from the beginning, from the ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do according to all my pleasure. The Lord does according to his will, according to his honor and his glory, but we serve him for his namesake. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 9 says, "For we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building." As you labor, as you serve the Lord, we are laborers together for God. We're serving God in whatever plan, whatever purpose He has for us. We're following God's will, God's plans, where we are working together with God. That's an incredible thought, if you can get your mind around that. You think about world evangelism, world missions, you're serving together with God. And His plan of redemption, His plan of work. Okay, verse number 10, the Apostle Paul says, "According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. Another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon." Okay, we each have different parts in the Lord's work. One sows, one waters, but who gives the increase? God. God gives the increase. Okay, verse 11, "For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. For God's name's sake, the Lord Jesus Christ, the foundation. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work shall be manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is." Those things that we do for God, for His honor, for His glory, are gold, silver, and precious stones. The things that we do for our honor, our glory, are wood, hay, and stubble. They won't endure. They won't get an eternal reward. But the sacrifices you make for God, for His honor, for His glory, have an eternal reward. Gold, silver, and precious stones will endure. They will be the things you can give back to Christ for His honor and for His glory. The things, the crowns that you can cast at Christ's feet. I remember when we were talking with a couple of the guys here about possibly coming over to Papua New Guinea on a missions trip, and I can't remember who it was that asked me. I don't remember if it was Jono or who it was that asked me, but he asked, "When do you want us to come over?" And I think I said now, but I can't remember exactly how that conversation went. But I kind of sensed when we had that conversation a little bit of shock. Like, you mean now? Or you mean like a year? Or how soon do you need us? And I said, "No, we really need you to come now, because we need to get the house finished so that we can move into the house, and then we can get ready for the clinic, and so we can start using the house for classes and for the school and those kind of things." And it was just amazing how the Lord worked all those details out. And the gentlemen were really able to come now. And you can't really use a kitchen without cabinets and those kind of things. And it was just amazing how the Lord worked all the details out. The men were able to come over, get the house completed, and then we were able to move in right after that. But we could just so surely see the Lord's fingerprints and God's providence and God's working in all those events. Right after that, when we had youth camp, we were using underneath the house. There was about, I don't know how many young men, 300 young men under the house. Leander's giving me signals, 300. About 300 young men under the house there. But it was just the Lord's perfect timing as the Lord worked all those things together. There was one of the young men that worked with the guys on the house at that time. His name was Billy. They'll probably remember. And Billy had helped us build the church building. And faithful young man, but very difficult situation. He was actually adopted. Basically, his mother had a lot of other children. She wasn't able to take care of him. So he was adopted by his oldest sister, and she raised him. About the time, though, he started working on the church building, shortly after that, his older sister. But basically, when they're adopted out, they're not really told who their real parents are. He knows, but he called his older sister his mother. She adopted him, took care of him. She became very sick, and she actually passed away and died. So he didn't really have anyone to care for him. It's when his mother died, his father went off, married another wife, so he was basically kicked out of the family then. And so he was, you know, really was a big help building the church building, faithful, not saved, but then he went through that great trial in his life. And we were really concerned if Billy would continue to come to church, if he would continue to love the Lord, or if that trial would make it and, you know, he would reject the Lord and walk away. But he continued to stay faithful. When the guys came, worked on the mission house, Billy worked with them, still not saved, but happily serving in whatever ways he could. Shortly after that, we started, at the sports outreach, we started having the youth read their Bible for devotions. So, very difficult thing for a lot of the youth in Papua New Guinea, very limited education. So, some of them, one of the girls doing devotions, she only had a grade 2 education. And just barely able to read, but still faithfully trying to read her Bible. So what we did, we printed just an A4 paper. They had a place every day of the week to be able to write the Bible text they read, what verse they got an application from, and just a one sentence application to their lives. And Billy was one of the young men doing that. Did it for a number of weeks. Not too long after that, we're preaching on a Wednesday night, and guess who raised his hand for salvation? Billy did. And we were able to show Billy just from God's word, simple plan of salvation, Romans Road, and Billy trusted the Lord as his Savior. Another one of the young men that worked with the guys when they were there, his name is Appa. He got saved. He trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior, and he's one of, I believe, four. We had five, but I believe one has dropped out. Four young people that are in the baptismal class. And he's going to be baptized on the 11th of June, Appa is. So praise the Lord for those decisions. Your labor of love for whose sake? For the God's namesake, for the Lord's namesake. It's not in vain. Look with me now back at verse 10. It says, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you show towards his name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister." As we serve the Lord, it's not just serving the Lord yesterday. It's not just serving the Lord today. It's serving the Lord tomorrow. It's serving the Lord faithfully. It's very easy in the Christian life to get super excited about Sunday. It's very easy to serve the Lord faithfully for one day, for one week, for one month. But the Lord wants us to have served him faithfully, to be serving him, and to serve him faithfully in the future. It's our lives we're serving the Lord with. It's our lives we're giving back to the Lord. The Lord has given his life for us, and he wants us to give our lives to him. As you look in verse 10, you see, "In that ye have ministered to the saints," past tense. But then you also see that you do minister, present tense. You are ministering to the saints. There's the past, the present, and the future in our service for the Lord. In the Lord's work, we need to be faithful serving him. You think about the Apostle Paul's life, how he poured his life into service for the Lord. The Apostle Paul said, speaking of his own life, he said he was the chief of sinners. Why? Because he had persecuted the church. The Apostle Paul had killed Christians. He put them in jail. He'd done many things against the Lord, against his work. But when God saved the Apostle Paul, his life was transformed 180 degrees. He gave his life back to the Lord. As you turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10. The Apostle Paul says, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain." The Apostle Paul knew what God had done in his grace and in his mercy to save him. You know, if God hadn't saved me as a young man, if God hadn't transformed my life, I most assuredly wouldn't be in Papua New Guinea serving God as a missionary. But by God's grace and God's mercy, God saved my life. He transformed my life. He changed me. By God's grace, by God's mercy, he saved Apostle Paul. By God's grace and by God's mercy, I trust the Lord has saved your life. He's changed your life. He's made you a new person in Christ. But because of that thankfulness for the Apostle Paul to God for what he has done, he says in verse 10, "And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain." There's many Christians that have trusted Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, but they're not serving God. He says, "But I labor more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was in me." The Apostle Paul says, because of God's grace, what God has done in his life, he said, I labor more abundantly. He said, I can't help but serve God out of gratefulness, out of thankfulness for what God has done for me. How God's changed my life, how he's given me a home in heaven, how he's given me an eternal future, the promises of eternal life with him. The Apostle Paul says, he served more abundantly. He labored more abundantly, yet not I, but the grace of God which was in him. For those of us as believers, as Christians, we need to serve God more abundantly. We need to abound in the Christian life. Not just serving God in the past, not just serving God today, but a commitment to serve God in the future. To serve God 100% wholeheartedly with our lives. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24 and verse number 46. The next thing on God's prophetic calendar is the imminent return of Christ. We don't know when Christ is returning, but we know it's imminent. He'll come back as a thief in the night. He could come any time, any hour, any moment. But when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back, we want him to find us faithful. Matthew chapter 24, verse 46 says, blessed is our servant, whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find him so doing. When the Lord Jesus comes back, we want him to find us faithful. Faithful serving him, faithful doing his bidding, faithful doing his word, loving him with all of our hearts. You know, as I mentioned with the sports outreach there, how we started doing the devotional papers for them, the first time for them in their lives, they'd never done anything like that before. When we did the Bible distribution, BIMI had given a number of Bibles there in Papua New Guinea. We were able to help distribute those in the public schools in our area. Many of them got a Bible. They would follow along during the religious instruction classes. But personal Bible reading or personal devotions was something they really didn't do. They really hadn't had any experience with that. There was one young man. His name was Segi. He came from, you might say, a religious family, a religious background. His mother attends the church. His brothers and sisters do. His father doesn't. But very faithful at church. But once again, someone that wasn't saved. We encouraged him to start reading his Bible. And he was very, very faithful. Very faithful filling out the devotion sheet, what he read, what Bible text, what Bible application he did. Very, very faithful. We preached one time. Afterwards, he raised his hand for salvation, went out, counseled him, and I asked him, you know, what was he thinking? Why did he raise his hand? And he said, I was reading my Bible, and this was a Bible text I read, and he said, I need to get saved. And it was just incredible. It wasn't even the message that we had preached. It wasn't God's word he heard during that service. He learned it from where? Reading his Bible. The Lord spoke to him, and he realized his need to get saved. And that night, Segi trusted Christ as his Savior. Segi got saved. We see that God is righteous to remember. He's righteous to remember what? Your work and labor of love. Number two thing, we see that we serve God for his namesake. We serve God for his honor and glory. Lastly, we see that we must serve God faithfully. That means the past, the present, and the future. We need to serve God 100%. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you show towards his name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. As I finish this morning, the things that you do for Christ, don't get discouraged in your Christian life. Don't get discouraged in your service for him. Sometimes it's easy, sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's easy to keep on keeping on for the Lord, sometimes it's hard. But stay faithful, serve God. The things you're doing for the Lord, you're doing them and they have eternal consequences, eternal rewards. The person you're teaching at Awana, the child you're sharing the gospel with, their eternal destiny might depend on you sharing the gospel with them. There might not be anyone else to share the gospel with that young boy or young girl. You share the gospel with them, they might get saved. They might spend all of eternity with Christ. You don't share the gospel with them, they might have no other opportunity. They might not have any other chance to hear the gospel. Whatever ministry God has given to you to do, be faithful. Stay at it. Serve the Lord faithfully in the past, the present, and the future. And remember that the things that you do for God, God will remember. You have an eternal reward waiting you. It is not in vain. Pastor Jan.
Father, thank you so much for the word that we have heard through your servant. Thank you for challenging us and reminding us that you never forget. You never forget the work that we do for you. But we must be reminded as well that even the work that we do is not by our own strength, not by our own wisdom, not by our own capacity. It's all by your grace alone. So I pray that we will depend more and more on you. Guide us, lead us, and I pray that our church will continually be active, Lord, in the work, not only locally, local missions, but global missions as well. Help us to tell that beautiful, life-changing story, the story of Jesus Christ and His love. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.